Hello and welcome to On The Box on the Geek Shows Podcast Network, our dedicated show on all things TV. I have been joined by A-Rob.
I'm now A-Rob. Hello.
Hello. Well, we do have two Robs, so...
Yeah, I know. I just thought you were making like an ethnic joke. I'm an A-Rob.
Oh, you got to do that. You got to pull out that card.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. I don't live in a desert. I don't own camels. You know, I am not an A-Rob. nor am I from Yorkshire. Nor am I from Liverpool. Hey, Rob. You know. I am Rob. Hello.
Yes, he is Rob.
We were getting pretty. We were heading in very, very odd territory there.
Yes. Anyway, yes. I'm glad you managed to divert yourself.
Yes. Well, we have all sorts to talk about, but we're going to start off with some news. So, Owen, what has been happening in the world of TV?
Well, I think I'm going to start with Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Yes.
What has Mr. Toupee been doing?
Well, he's still in the news because he is promising to bring legal action against NBC for dropping Miss USA.
I've got to ask, how old is Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know, but
I'm curious as to how old Donald Trump is because I get the feeling that these days he thinks he's Hugh Hefner. Which is why he's sponsoring events like Miss USA.
Yeah.
Let's have all the lovely young ladies parade around in their swimsuits just for me, because I'm sponsoring this event, because my name is Donald Trump.
Yes. I'm pretty sure he had the ears of Richard Lionheart during the Crusades.
Nelly the elephant packed her trunk and said goodbye to the circus.
Yes.
Off she went with a trumpety trump.
Trump, Trump, Trump. 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 Now that's out of the way, Donald Trump's 69 years old.
Dude! There are so many jokes right now, and I am not going to go there.
Please,
because,
don't.
Yeah.
He was born 1946. Clearly, he was conceived at a celebration at the end of the war. That's basically what he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. The war's over. It's just...
Let's have a baby to celebrate the end of the war.
Well,
No. It makes sense. Okay.
Yes.
To celebrate the end of a period of war, which is basically a period of death and struggle, you know, an affirmation of life is... a nice thing. It's a nice gesture.
They could have done it better, though.
How can you make a better life? I mean, it's not like they had robots. They didn't have cyborgs.
No,
they didn't have genetic enhancements or anything like that. Or did they?
It was the 40s.
No. I've always been suspicious of Donald Trump's hair.
That is some very strange hair.
It looks shifty to me. Maybe they did. Maybe we're living in an alternate reality where, you know, maybe he came from a different time period. Maybe he came from the future and traveled back to 1940s and got rid of Donald Trump from the 1940s and replaced him with, like, Cyborg Trump, who just looks like Donald Trump, who is actually linked to Skynet.
Or the body's just a puppet and the real evil's the hair. The real consciousness is the hair.
Like that Simpsons episode.
Yes! Yes, when Homer became Snape because of a hair transplant.
Yes. Oh, you're a genius.
Yes.
So Donald Trump's hair is suing NBC. No, sorry, Donald Trump is suing NBC over Miss USA. Okay, so why is he suing NBC over Miss USA?
Well, it all goes back to when Donald Trump made those rather insulting remarks about the Mexican people.
Okay, I just put that down to the fact that... isn't he a Republican?
Yes.
I just put it down to the fact that he's a Republican.
Well, you can
and
put...
And that Republicans, you know, Republicans are insane. See, the thing is, I find it funny that Republicans keep referring to stuff that happened like 200 years ago. And like, oh yeah, the Democrats started off like this. You're like, yeah, but they're not like that now.
Nope.
You know, the Republicans are going, oh yeah, but, you know, I'm for guns because guns don't kill people. People kill people. You know, and then you go, yeah, but the gun helps.
Yes.
You know, if you had to beat someone to death, it's kind of a lot of effort.
Yeah.
It takes a lot more effort to actually hit somebody with a chair than it does to pull a trigger. And if you have guns in your house, which your kids can get their hands on.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's not like here in the UK we can go down to the basement and access our granddad's arsenal of weapons.
That's true. Oh, no, it's little Susan's fault she killed her brother Timothy.
Yeah, little Susan killed her brother Timothy with her dad's AK-47.
Yes.
You know, which he was sure he put away in the gun cabinet with the secure lock on, you know, because the secure lock is one of those, you know, I've seen some of these gun cabinets that they sell in America, and the locks are a waste of time. I mean, you put a glass front on a gun cabinet and you expect it to be secure. I'm sorry, where's the steel door? You know, where's the triple bolt action yell lock or something like that? You know, where's the security code? Why isn't it built like a safe? If you put a glass front on it, then it's easy to break that and take the guns out. Yeah.
The best irony would be if it was bulletproof glass, because bulletproof glass, yeah, it'll stop a bullet, but it's susceptible to slow objects like knives or...
No, it's susceptible to that. But what's the point in putting bulletproof glass in a bloody wooden frame?
That's very true. That is very true, actually.
You know, I mean, I've actually seen gun cabinets where they have, you know, this glass is bulletproof. You're like, yes, but what's the frame made out of? What's the actual case made of? Oh, it's just, it's made of mahogany. Like, yes, and... It's made of mahogany. And? So the glass is bulletproof and the cabinet's made of wood.
Does he kind of at the point where he's kind of is
do
logic?
Do you not see the logical, you know, disconnect here?
The logic centers in his brain are just firing at all cylinders. He's trying to figure this problem out.
No, apparently, as long as the glass is bulletproof, automatically all of the cabinet has bulletproof properties just because the glass is bulletproof. That's like, you know, making the president's, you know, the beast that the president, President Obama goes around in, like making that and making all the windows bulletproof, but making the rest out of like old Ford Escorts.
Fair enough.
It's basically like that.
Yeah. I just got a vision of your gun cabinet guy and say, just trying to figure out a sensible solution to why the gun cabinet is bulletproof because it's made of wood. And he just goes, America.
Yeah. America. Yeah.
Anyway, back on Donald Trump, because that's where we originated.
I don't want to be on Donald Trump.
Well, can we get back to the subject?
We can get back to the subject. I just don't want to be on him.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Not him on me.
that's fair enough. I mean,
he's
I don't
just
think,
not my type.
I don't think any of his three wives actually like that either.
Yeah. His wife, Ivana, that was just hilarious. I mean, if your surname is Trump... The last, you know, if your name is Ivana, the last thing you want is your surname is Trump.
Yes, it is a sentence. Anyway, Donald Trump obviously made his comments about the Mexican people, and the NBC network weren't happy about them. So to kind of distance themselves from
Never
him.
Never mind the NBC network. I don't think the Mexican people were happy about
Oh, no. God, no. God, no. Not only that, being told that a wall is going to be built, probably by them, and they have to pay for it.
Yeah, but let's not forget, he's not going to be influenced by the Chinese when he builds his Great Wall.
Yes. Not only that, the Chinese respect him.
Yes.
He's going to be firm with them, and they respect him. Yes.
Sorry, are you having the same mental image as I am? You know, they're just the Chinese government all just with a picture, just listening to Donald Trump and going, can you believe this clown?
He thinks we respect him. What's with that
just
hair?
Just doing like really bad impressions of Donald Trump. Oh, yes, the Chinese respect me.
Yes. I mean, Donald Trump said, I mean, to me, it's just like, it just looks like Hitler wanted to do something different. That's what the hair looks like to me.
You had to go with the Hitler.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
Obviously, because
do you know what the funny thing is? Right.
There are many funny things.
This is the hilarious bit, right? 1936 Olympics. Jesse Owens.
Yes.
In the 1936 Olympics, basically blew the competition away.
Oh, yeah.
Right. He was so good at athletics. I get the feeling that he managed to really annoy Hitler and the whole idea of the Aryan master race.
It's kind
because
of,
he was wiping the floor with everybody.
Kant disproves his fundamental belief.
And Hitler actually left the stadium rather than meeting him and giving him medals.
Actually, there's a very common misconception about that. It is believed that it was Hitler that snubbed Jesse Owens. In actual fact, it was apparently Roosevelt that snubbed him.
Yeah, Roosevelt snubbed him. We know that. Yeah. But the thing is, Hitler actually left the stadium.
Yeah.
Hitler snubbed him as well, but Roosevelt also snubbed him. But it was, Roosevelt snubbing him was basically because of the way America was at the time. But Hitler snubbing him was just basically because, it's just basically because Aryan race, really?
Well, yeah that's
superior,
very true.
Superior, really?
That's very true.
Back to Donald Trump.
Yes. Obviously, NBC, the network, wanted to distance themselves from any kind of negativity that could come their way because of Donald Trump. So they basically ended their contract with him and dropping all shows that he either owns or co-owns. That includes the Miss America, the Miss USA pageant.
Apparently, there's a company called Reels, or whoever they are. I don't know whether it's a network or not. Who are looking to do the Miss USA stuff now.
Yes, I've not heard that myself.
But, I mean, in comparison to NBC, I don't think they have the kind of reach.
No.
Can you imagine if it was like NPR or if it was like, you know, the public broadcasting stuff?
Yeah.
Do you remember Wayne's World?
Yes, I do actually.
Remember how Wayne's World started? It was on like a public broadcasting network.
Yeah.
And people just got together and filmed in their basements and stuff like that. Can you imagine if Miss USA was reduced to that?
Wow, that'd just be... the kind of caliber they'd have for Miss USA would drop.
Live from the basement in Trump Towers. It's Miss USA.
Dear God.
Like, Trailer Park Edition.
For me, Miss USA is just essentially trailer trash with a crown.
Right, moving on to other things that NBC have cancelled. NBC have also cancelled AD, The Bible Continues. I have no idea what this show is. I've only heard about this show. Apparently, it might move online for a second season. But the series is a sequel to the 2013 history miniseries The Bible, but NBC is not going forward with the second season. Work is already underway on scripts for new episodes, according to reports. The original series of The Bible drew audiences of 13 million when it was first shown in spring 2013. Its sequel didn't do quite as well, bringing in 10 million viewers when it was first shown on Easter Sunday. Within a month, those figures had halved. Producers Mark Burnett and Roma Downey are developing an online channel which could carry on the story of AD, The Bible Continues. The faith-based hub is not expected to launch until 2016 or early 2017. Do you think people might not be watching it because they already know how the story ends?
Yeah, the big guy in the cloud fights the devil. That's the ending.
I mean, it's not like Game of Thrones where, you can kind of take it in a different direction. This is the Bible we're talking about. You can't really put your own spin in it, can you?
No, you can't. You can't just say, right, this is my vision for it. It's like,
you know, it's not like they're suddenly going to have like Can-Can Girls coming on, you know, during in the garden when Jesus sweats blood. It's not like Jim Carrey's going to pop up piano and going, "Hello, it's me." Oh, like, you know, or maybe like Barry Scott from the Silip Bang adverts.
I can get that blood out of that drawer for you.
Yeah. Bang, and the blood is gone.
It just, to me, it just seems like it should be called the Bible AD. This time, it's personal.
See, when I saw AD, the Bible continues, I was automatically thinking, Babylon AD? Is Vin Diesel in this somehow? What's going on?
Yes, that would have been good.
So, yeah, I honestly don't know. I mean, we had Jesus of Nazareth with Robert Powell, wasn't it? And it was one of the most amazing TV shows I've seen. You know, Jesus of Nazareth was a brilliant, brilliant depiction of the story of Jesus from the Bible. And I don't understand. And people keep coming back to this whole, to religion as a programming thing. And just kind of, okay, yeah, fine. I'm down with that. You want to do religious programming? That's fine. But why put it on NBC?
That's a very good question. I mean, it's, putting something like that on a public network, it's...
I mean, we live in a multicultural society with multiple ethnicities and multiple belief systems.
Yeah.
You know? And they kind of coexist with each other in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put on a... If you're going to put on a show about the Bible, what about a show about Buddha? Where's the story of Siddhartha?
Yeah.
You know? Where's the story of the story of the Quran? Where's the Hindu programming?
That's very true.
I mean, they had the effects weren't that great, but some of the Hindu stuff is basically like Game of Thrones. seriously. You don't know the truth, I do. But where's that? I mean, that'd be amazing to see an actual Game of Thrones level production quality version of some of the Hindu stuff.
Yeah.
It would really be amazing, you know. And India is basically one of the next financial centers of the world, so why not?
Well, that's very true. NBC, if you're listening, and we know you are, you know what you need to do.
Anyway, moving on to more cancellations. Amazon and Netflix are not reviving Hannibal, but Brian Fuller has said there is still hope. Yeah.
I mean, that's Netflix and Amazon. Those are two of the biggest online service streamers.
It's yet another NBC cancellation.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, it is yet another NBC cancellation. It was cancelled last month, and it can, you know, the story continues even after its cast were released from their contracts. Showrunner Brian Fuller was asked by a fan on Twitter for an update on Hannibal's future on Sunday, and he replied, "I'm sorry to report Amazon and Netflix have passed on Hannibal. On Hannibal season 4, but we're still investigating possibilities." So, you know, it might still be possible, but I'm not sure.
This definitely does seem like a guy who's trying. He's put so much of himself into this program, and he's trying his best not to let it die. It's there. It's already bleeding. You know, it's been shot repeatedly. It's been stabbed. It's been kicked. It's been beaten. It's bleeding out on the floor, but he's desperately trying to keep it alive.
Yeah.
It's a good show. It's a good show, but
maybe he could promote it by having the character who play the guy who plays Hannibal, you know, be a judge on Miss USA.
That would be good.
It works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hannibal is a cannibal, and Miss USA is effectively, you know, like so many other pageants and, you know, beauty contests and stuff like that. It's just a glorified meat market.
Yeah, just a parade of white meat.
Yes.
Essentially, it. Unfortunately, it is. I mean.
Yeah, so why not have a cannibal be one of the judges?
Very true. Unfortunately, yeah, because Donald Trump owns it, I don't think he'd let it anyway.
No.
He's too controlling of that man.
Yes. Anyway, moving on. Game of Thrones season 6. Now, here's an interesting thing. Dan Weiss and David Benioff, who are the showrunners for Game of Thrones, may have already told us months ago what happens to Jon Snow.
But wasn't that already in the book?
Not quite, because the show and the book are deviating, and they're going. The deviations are getting more and more common and bigger.
Right.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Jon Snow effectively died. Right? Well, you know what happened. He was stabbed repeatedly by the Black Watch or whatever they're called. And then the guy who was shepherding and trying to raise as a proper, you know, member of the Black Watch stabbed him through the heart.
Ouch. That's going to leave a scar.
Yes. Anyway, there was a fan theory that suggested that Kit Harington's Jon Snow isn't dead, but that he will actually warg into his direwolf ghost, so that he will become the wolf. And it turns out that Weiss and Benioff have already discussed the possibility publicly. They appeared at Oxford Union, and Harrington and John Bradley, who's Samwell Tarly, months before the finale aired, a fan asked the two actors who they would like to play in the series. Harrington replied, "I'd like to be a warg. I'd like to put myself into a wolf." Weiss then added, "Two words for you: season 6."
Oh.
While this, you know, it could be a simple gag for from the writers, can't help but take it a little bit seriously.
I'm sorry, if you're in the room when they said that, you would have just lost it when she just heard that.
Harrington has since said that Jon Snow is dead and not coming back, but fans have speculated that doesn't necessarily mean that the character won't feature in another form.
It's kind of like a film I watched years ago. A father of a man who was tragically killed and was reincarnated as a dog and chose to stay with his family and protect them. I forget what it was called.
Well, I know it wasn't Cujo because that was a horror. It's one of those common story type things. Moving on. Penny Dreadful. Right now, I'm liking Penny Dreadful. I am enjoying Penny Dreadful a lot. And the Showtime Sky Atlantic series has already featured a bunch of horror icons, including Frankenstein, his creature, Dorian Gray, and a few others. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, series co-creator Johnny Logan has hinted at the introduction of a new character in an interview with Entertainment Weekly. He claims he's sorry about the tease, but after 2 years, he's finally adding another famous literary character. And who it's going to be, you know, there's speculation about who it's going to be. Who do you reckon it could be? A horror icon. Could it be a werewolf? Could it be a vampire? Could it be a mummy? Could it be could it be the boogeyman? We're going to see the boogeyman.
Oh, now that would be something.
Having the boogeyman or old man trouble would be interesting. Sorry, I can't say old man trouble properly because I keep thinking old man Logan, which is Wolverine. And then I start thinking, get off my lawn! Wolverine with his adamantium hip replacement.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, if you want to put your ideas forward for who it could be, you know, let us know. That was Penny Dreadful. I'm going to save this news article till last because it leads me right into what I've been watching this week. So we'll move on to the next news article, which is?
What I've got here is a BBC Trust is not endorsing the proposed changes to our license fee.
Yeah, I think that, the thing is, there's been this huge loophole in the license fee structure because the license only applies if you watch a live show or watch the recording of a live show online as it's being broadcast. But if you watch it after it's been broadcast, you don't need a license.
No, that's true. I mean, that's why...
And if you watch Amazon Prime or Netflix or something like that, you don't need a license.
Yeah, they're on-demand channels as well.
If you watch ITV... or Channel 4 or Channel 5, you don't need a license.
No.
So it's only BBC that the license applies for.
Yeah.
So George Osborne has come forward and said, like, over 75s, BBC has to cover the cost of their licenses, which is pretty straightforward because, ironically enough, that hasn't actually changed.
No.
Right? The only thing that's changed is who the money to cover the license is coming from.
Yes, it was the government before, I think, under the Welfare Act.
Yep.
But now the BBC...
It's going to have to come directly from the BBC.
Yeah, you're talking about £650 million a year.
Yeah, but thing is, the BBC could easily make that money back if it opened up, if it opened itself up to advertising in specific ways.
Yes, okay.
See, the thing is, you don't need to open yourself up to advertising per se, but open yourself up to sponsorship. The BBC News at 1 is sponsored by Snickers.
Yes, and then there goes our last kind
our last bastion of no advertising. But the thing is, advertising pays the bills.
No, that's true. That's true. It's an
The thing is, if you choose the advertising correctly, I mean, me saying the BBC News at 1 is sponsored by Snickers, that was an extreme. That wasn't the most extreme form of incorrect advertising, but. If you said Match of the Day is sponsored by Sports Direct...
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so Sports Direct sponsoring Match of the Day, that's an easy link between the two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you say Doctor Who was sponsored by Forbidden Planet...
Yeah, that's true.
Again, that works.
Yeah.
You know, so... See, this is the problem... Most of the time when you're doing these sponsorship things, because you see them a lot on ITV and Channel 4 and Channel 5, when they do, this program is sponsored by Toyota Yaris. You know, the Mauam stuff, which sponsors the Big Bang Theory, is sponsored by Mauam. The Fruity Chew.
I believe Foster's sponsors pretty much all Channel 4 comedy and Channel 4 panel shows.
Thing is... I don't understand the link between Mauam, the Fruity Chew, and the Big Bang Theory.
No, that's true. That's
and they tried to work it in with the two with that man and that woman, you know, doing the whole, you know,
that thing they did,
the uncertainty theory and various things like that, trying to explain it with choosing. Like, okay, fine, fair enough. Now stop. Just stop. It's embarrassing. Just stop. I told you to stop.
Yeah. Why haven't you stopped? Why are you still doing it?
Why are you still here? But if you had something, I mean, the Big Bang Theory, if you had something like, you know, Sony PlayStation 4 sponsors the Big Bang Theory, that works.
Yeah, that's very true. But back to this, because, yeah, what you're saying does make sense in many ways.
The University of Teesside sponsors Community.
Yes. However, the BBC will be facing more cuts. And yes. I think they're already laying off, I think it's either 100 or 1,000 people to save 50 million.
Well, let's put it this way. It is a case of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah.
To quote Star Wars. Star Trek. I've done that again.
Yes.
To quote Star Trek. To quote Star Trek. But... And I can understand there will be people who'll be upset because are these job cuts coming. But at the end of the day, the BBC don't really have a choice.
No.
You know, they've got to find the money some way.
Yeah.
And without the... Because people... You can't have it both ways. You can't have a situation where you have either a lower or a negligible license fee and you have high-quality programming with really big names and... also not have any kind of advertising.
That's true.
It don't work like that.
Yeah. George Osborne has also come out and said that BBC could cover this if they abandoned their Imperial website ambitions.
Imperial website ambitions?
Yes.
I don't understand. Is their website going to take over other websites by planting flags in them?
I don't know what.
Is the BBC iPlayer going to run up to some other website? Is it going to come to our website, the Geek Show's website, and plant a flag in it saying, "Now you're part of the BBC"? Ha 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 ha.
I mean, the BBC website does cover so much.
Because if they did that and said we were part of the BBC, the first thing I'd be saying is, "Pay me."
Yeah, well, that's true. It's basically like saying, well, you have to do the important hard work and you're not allowed any of the reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to speak ill of our Chancellor or the Exchequer.
No,
you
no,
could
do,
probably
do,
speak
do,
ill
do,
of
do,
him
do.
Better than I could.
He's a Muppet.
Thank you.
He's a Muppet. No, I don't trust any man in a job that he hasn't trained for.
No, that's fair.
You know, if you haven't trained for it and you don't have the qualifications for it, then I don't trust you in that job, you know.
Yeah, Gon Brand did a much better
job than
him.
You don't have experience in a role that like that.
Yeah.
I don't care what you did at university. Let's put it this way. If you're Chancellor of the Exchequer, if your job is to balance the books for the entire country, then I would at least expect you to have, you know, the basic financial financial management qualification.
Yeah.
You know, it's that simple.
Yep, it is.
You know, I'll have an accountancy qualification. You know, even if it's something that just says, you know, I can use Sage accountancy.
If Sage is terrible.
No, but you know, you can do courses and get a little certificate that says, I can do Sage accountancy. You know, even if it was something like that, it would be better than having
just being able to say numbers. That's not enough. That's why Gon Brand was
I can say numbers. 375, 1,267,123.
You actually had to think about that number. You had to stop yourself and think, right, hold on, wait, I'm not going for that number, I'm going for this number.
Cheap.
Yes, that's the best way to describe George Osborne. Just cheap.
Sheep, I said.
Oh, sheep.
Yeah.
Ah, right, you're counting.
I was counting sheep.
Bit of a miscommunication there.
Yeah, anyway.
He's still cheap.
Yes, he is. He's so cheap.
He had a standard ticket and yet said he deserved to be in first class.
I deserve to be in first class because I'm George Osborne.
Yeah, well, I...
My name is George Osborne and I speak like a Bond villain.
Well, you never know. I mean,
good evening, Mr. Bond. Welcome to your death.
I've been expecting you.
I've been expecting you, Mr. Bond. Welcome to die. My name is Magneto. I am the master of magnet.
Apparently, there is some money missing out of all the savings that the Conservative government have made. There is money missing. Maybe
I knew he'd been in my cash box.
Maybe someone's been building a secret lair.
He made a fort, didn't he? He made a fort. We know it. In number 11 Downing Street, he's made a fort out of boxes, and he's equipped it with like smartphones and stuff like that.
Wow. Actually, no, he's toys. He's probably
and
built when, it.
And he doesn't invite David Cameron into his fort. He invites Boris into his fort, but not David Cameron. He's like, no, you're not one of the cool kids anymore, David. Boris is still a cool kid because of his hair.
Yes. That you always had that whack kid with the wacky hair. Now, you see, he's a Tory. I reckon he built his fort out of bricks and money.
No, do you know what I reckon he's done? Oh, this is going to be so wrong. But I'm going to go with it anyway, and I think I'm going to leave this in. Do you know what I reckon he's done?
Do I really want to know what you reckon what he's done?
I reckon he's gone to like a cash point at the Bank of England or something like that. He's basically taken out huge piles of cash and he's thrown them all over his bed and he's ripped off his clothes and he's just lounging around on all of it. And, you know,
that's probably how every Tory goes to bed every single day.
Just rolling around on a bed of money just because he can. He's like, I'm the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
He'd better be rubbing
this money on my chest.
He'd better not be rolling around in my money.
I need to make sure I sit on this money before I give it to Owen.
Oh. I knew that money felt dirty.
Yes, it's dirty, dirty money. Said George Osborne.
That's what happens when you get it from from the Bank of England cash point.
And you was going to head off into weird directions.
Anyway, don't you have a news story?
Yes, I did. This one isn't going to be any better.
Oh,
you do realise that.
I've realised that now.
No. This one's not going to be any better, but not through anything we did. This is pure. This is all on ITV.
This is not our responsibility.
Yeah, this is all on ITV, right?
Yes.
Now, you know the Women's World Cup has just finished, right?
I believe I heard something about this.
Right, we'll get to that in a bit.
Okay. But this must ITV, be way more important.
No, no, this is about the Women's World Cup.
All right.
Okay, it's about women's football. ITV are going to be exploring the origins of women's football with a new drama.
Really?
Now, yeah. With the World Cup dream being over for England, the USA won, obviously, we know that.
Yes.
Japan lost. England came third. Germany came fourth for a change. But
still
yeah,
be Germany.
ITV are developing a show that focuses on the foundations of the first women's football team in 1894.
Really?
Right now. The show is going to explore the working relationship between between one of the characters who came from a working-class northern family and another character called Dixie. Now, I haven't mentioned the first character's name because you'll understand when I eventually mention the name of the show. Because it's named after the character, right? Now, Dixie is a famous travel writer from an aristocratic background. England's lioness, basically, Danny Dyer was among the celebrities who congratulated the English football team. But that has nothing to do with this. This is going to be, this drama is called Honey Ballers.
What?
There is a reason for that name.
There better be a reason for that name.
Yeah, it takes a close look at the lives of Nettie Honeyball and Lady Florence Dixie, who set up the British Ladies Football Club.
What?
Now, Nettie Honeyball is the working, is basically the working class northern family woman.
Hold on. Let me get this right. The name's Nutty.
Nettie.
All right, good.
Nettie
Honeyball. Because Nutty Honeyball.
Don't forget. This is 1894 we're talking about. So it's, you know, Victorian era.
No, that's fair enough. Okay.
And they probably didn't think of the surname Honeyball as anything in the way that our twisted little minds think of now.
Especially,
because we have the internet.
Yes. Especially now that when I was thinking it was Nutty Honeyball, because that just sounds like a snack.
I still don't know how CNN thought 4chan was a person.
Wow, you really dropped that. You slammed table.
I said we have the internet, and then all of a sudden it just popped back into my head.
I was like, in terms of just, I'm just about to, and you just slammed that on the table.
Yes, I did.
Just
you have your choice. You can keep going with the story. You can go for the 4chan one.
You know, I think I've lost the point I was going to make with it. I know what point I was going to make, but it's now.
It's all right. Don't worry. Make the point.
Well, basically saying Nutty Honeyball.
No,
it sounds
Nettie.
Like
Nettie.
Yeah, I know, but because I heard Nutty Honeyball. It sounds like some kind of sweet or snack.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Nettie
it does.
Honeyball. Nettie football.
You know, Nettie's short.
Yes.
But Nettie's the short form for her actual name, which unfortunately it doesn't give us.
No. It's like football. It's,
yeah,
kind of a
but
weird
calling
joke.
It Honey Ballers, I'm pretty sure the team wasn't called Honey Ballers.
No.
her name might have been Nettie Honeyball, but I don't think it was a good idea to call it Honey Ballers.
No. Anyway, back to 4chan.
Yes.
I saw the video, I listened to them, and I still don't understand why they are that stupid.
Yeah. The thing is, we just to give it a bit of context, we found an article that was talking about the top five biggest fails on CNN News. And one of them, I think it was number three was CNN thinking that the image and message board 4chan was a person.
Yes, because only
during the whole hacking stuff going on.
Yes, and not only that person was responsible for the hacking.
Yes.
But
it's a message board.
Yeah, we know for the fact that someone did hack those accounts and get.
But it wasn't 4chan because it's just a message board.
Someone did set it up, but there isn't one person behind it.
The thing is, one person set it up, but you know, it's used by millions of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway,
4chan's not an entity.
No, it's not. Anyway, we're going to move on to find out what have we been watching.
Before we do, I just want to say this last thing.
Okay.
What CNN did is Fox level of stupidity.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about the ISIS flag at the gay pride march.
No, we
leaving
can't.
Leaving that to one side. We are not going there, Ben.
We are not leaving that to one side. We are throwing that out the window. We're not thinking about it. We're not looking at it. It's gone.
Yes, anyway. What have you been watching this week, Owen?
Well, I've been watching a few different things, and I'll let you pick to what I could talk about. I'll talk about the most recent episode of the new series of Mock the Week.
Okay.
Sean Bean's two-part documentary on the Battle of Waterloo, which of course has just celebrated its 200th anniversary.
Yeah.
Or we could talk about last weekend's Formula One British Grand Prix.
I think Sean Bean. It's got to be Sean Bean. Do you know why I say Sean Bean? Because I was a massive fan of Sharp.
Fair enough.
I thought Sharp, I thought Sharp was brilliant.
Yeah.
It's Bernard Cornwell, was it? Or I can't remember who wrote Sharp.
I'll quickly...
Because I'd not seen Sean Bean in anything before, and then I watched Sharp, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, this is like one of the greatest period war-based TV shows I've seen.
Yeah, of course, based in the Napoleon War. Bernard Cornwell.
Yeah, Bernard Cornwell. I was right.
Yeah, well, yeah. And of course, he was the perfect man to kind of bring in to sort of educate about the Napoleonic War.
Yeah.
Because what we learned was absolutely fascinating. We learned different things. Like we learned the weapons they used and how they were actually more effective than we could have actually realized. A musket ball could actually break your bone and shatter it.
Yeah.
To the point, you would need amputating. They had formations set in place so that they could actually maximize their firing range and use as many musket shots in one volley. And just, you also had the personal account, the human accounts of the actual soldiers who were there, how they were doing at that point, whether they actually felt like they would actually survive. And of course, how the troop deployments and how victory was very narrowly Napoleon's, if it wasn't for the, I think, the Prussian reinforcements that made it there just in time.
Well, this is the thing, right? Do you remember Sharp's Eagle?
No, I don't.
I think that was the main one that I watched was Sharp's Eagle.
Yeah.
Sharp was a fictional soldier.
Yeah.
During the time of the Napoleonic Wars. Sean Bean doing narrating this documentary about Napoleon.
Oh yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
because Sharp was great. Sharp was a fantastic character. He just I think he was with the Irish Guards or something like that. And one of his subordinates had a six shooting musket.
Yeah.
Fired six at once.
Wow.
A repeating muskets kind of thing. It was like a six shooter and a musket all in one. It was great. I mean, just the amount of detail in the costumes and the characters just the general dialogue. It was so good. And Sean Bean was brilliant as Sharp.
Yes. Out of what little I've seen of it, I will concede he was brilliant. One of his really best roles.
Oh, he looks so young as well.
He does,
compared to now. He's like, oh my God. But yeah.
And that's him presenting it, it was just fantastic. I mean, obviously talking about what it was like for working on Patch Up. Why? It's you. That bloody...
I didn't do anything. I had nothing to do with that.
No, it's that... It's what you showed me.
The Funhouse thing.
Yes, unfortunately, Funhouse is back, hosted by Pat Sharp.
Just for one event.
Yes. Anyway, Sharp, he talked about his experiences on Sharp and how well they did the costumes, but how differently they kind of portrayed the battle, or even the war.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a question for you, which a very good point was raised. Who was the French commander of Waterloo?
I can't remember.
Well, it was Napoleon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the British commander? The British commander of the forces.
It wasn't Thingy. I know that. Or was it?
Who are you thinking?
Hey?
Who are you thinking?
Hang on. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, Waterloo.
Yeah, Waterloo, not Trafalgar. Because I'm thinking Trafalgar.
Yeah, you're thinking of Admiral
Nelson. Because my brain is basically I was watching a documentary series about Nelson.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, so my brain's automatically going back to the Nelson documentary that I watched. So I'm thinking Trafalgar. No, not Trafalgar. Waterloo.
Yes.
What was it?
Commander of the Allied Forces.
British Commander of the Allied Forces. It's the Duke of Thingy, wasn't it?
It's the Duke of Wellington.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. It raises a very good point. Out of that war, everyone remembers Napoleon, obviously, because everything he did throughout the entire Napoleonic era.
Yeah.
But very few remember the victor of Waterloo, the Duke of Wellington.
Do you know why?
Why?
I actually know the reason for this.
Go for it.
It's to do with human nature, right? If you take a group of soldiers and you basically charge stupidly at the enemy without any plan of action, without any plan of battle, and you die heroically in the most glorious way, but you die,
you'll be remembered.
You'll be remembered forever. You'll have people writing songs about your heroism because you run at them. But if you take the clever way and you take what is known as the coward's way, which I call foul on, because it's not the bloody coward's way, it's the intelligent way, because you are bloody stupid and you're doing us a favor by removing yourselves from the gene pool if you think that running... If you think that running headfirst with a sword at somebody who's carrying a cannon is a logical thing to do, if you think that, then I think you did the right thing. And keep running at them and removing yourselves from the gene pool. It will make us all smarter in the future. Now, descendants will be very, very smart.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, it's to do with human nature, because humans love automatically. You look in all of the stories, we like the heroic characters who dive head first into battle. We don't like the characters like Loki who are sneaky and tricksy and use plans and have backup plans to their plans.
No, very true. I think one that we remember very well, even though it was a great mistake, was the Charge of the Light Brigade. It was a very unfortunate tragedy.
Hang on, that was the Charge of the Light Brigade, wasn't it? Yeah. I think so. I think that tune I just made was the Charge of the Light Brigade. Anyway, moving on. Charge of the Light Brigade was a famous one.
Yep.
Even though they failed and died.
It was a massive mistake as well. I mean, they weren't supposed to charge, but...
But it's celebrated.
Yes.
They were stupid.
Well,
they ran at the enemy.
They were following orders. And, of course, at that time, the discipline was at such where if you're given an order, you don't question it.
Yeah, because if you don't follow the order, you're dead anyway.
Yeah.
It's like shoot him on the spot.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Anyway. If you think an order is stupid...
No,
should you follow it? If you think the commander has lost his senses and is going, I'm in La La Land. I'm playing with playing with Pixie Mittles and Moxie Cotton, various things like that. And all the cats here have 9 legs. And I think it'd be a jolly good idea if you gentlemen wore red coats in the jungle. These thick red coats in tropical heat. I think it'd be a jolly good idea. And if you move around at night with these red coats and white trousers and these tall black hats, I think it'd be a great idea, a jolly good idea. Let's go fight them, the savages. They only have shields and spears. We have these glorious red coats with gold frogging because we're going to be inconspicuous in the jungle.
Yes. So, Arthur Wellesley, first Duke of Wellington, and hero of Waterloo.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway,
what have you been watching?
I have been watching the Women's World Cup. Sorry about that rant about clothing during the war, but I think it is bloody stupid that the English thought, oh yeah, we're not just the English. Sorry, most of the armies at that time thought it was very, very clever, very dashing, and very brave to go fighting in like the jungle or the desert wearing bright red.
Yep.
and gold. Yep. Two colours that don't normally appear in the jungle.
Nope.
And yet, we celebrate them.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway, I was watching the Women's World Cup, and I've got to say, I would like to have... I think the BBC did some great coverage of the Women's World Cup. It's one of the reasons why I think the BBC should have some kind of funding, you know, because they do coverage of stuff like that. And their coverage was fine. There wasn't anything wrong with it. It would have been nice if there was a lot more stuff on BBC One, on primetime BBC One, or as it aired on BBC One, rather than being relegated to BBC Two and BBC Three. But for the most part, I think it was fine. It's a shame because, the English game, the England-Japan game, the semi-final, was handled really well. The England-Germany game was handled really well. The Japan-America game, though, was brilliantly handled.
Yeah.
You know, it was basically everything that I wanted from a World Cup final, you know, the commentary of a World Cup final from the BBC.
Good.
It was pretty much everything I wanted. The disappointing part is the fact that the BBC was the only channel covering it.
Yeah.
Everyone else kind of went, oh, look, in our news section, we mentioned the Women's World Cup. But it shows you just how far women's football still has to go in order to become accepted as the mainstream. And I think that's a shame because there are some great female players in the UK and around the world. Some thing is, in America, right, you have players like Abby Wambach and Christy Rampo, right, who have they've got like 200, 300 plus caps for their country.
Yeah.
And yet you come to England and the English women's team isn't even going to be playing in the World Cup. Sorry, no, the Olympics.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and you think, well, hang on, why has that happened? Because the England women's team is the third best team in the world at the moment. So why the hell aren't they taking part in next year's Olympics? See what I mean?
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I think the World Cup coverage was great. And there's some amazing female players coming through. I'll tell you something. Women's football has a very, very, very bright future.
And it can't
come soon enough. It's been delayed too long. Women's football needs to take its place right alongside men's football, you know, because they are just as good as the men.
Oh, definitely.
In terms of skills, they are just as good as the men.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not talking about physical strength or anything like that. Just in terms of sheer skill, they're just as good. So, yeah. Anyway, we are on. We were going to be talking about the difference in coverage of television between British and American news outlets, but unfortunately,
television.
We're unfortunately out of time. So we'll have to pick this up next week. Sadly, we are out of time. We'll have to pick it up next week. Let us know what you've been watching, and you know. Explore. There's all sorts of stuff to watch. Don't just watch X Factor or Britain's Got Talent or anything like that.
Open your horizons.
Yes. Anyway, we have been on the box. I've been Rob.
I've been Owen.
We'll see you all next week. Take care and have fun.
Bye.